In this video, I'm going to show you the top three reasons why focusing on perfect movement can actually bring more harm than good. Now, my name is Dr. Joe Camerato. I'm a physical therapist with Across the Continuum, and my goal is going to be to help you become a better strength coach as a physical therapist. Now, there are three points that we're going to go over today. Number one is that there is no such thing as perfect movement. When we think about movement and where movement comes from, it comes from the context in which we are doing it in. And so context is going to include the person performing it, the person that's defining the movement, the equipment available, the skill level of the person, the range of motion, symptoms, injuries, surgeries that are present with the person. And all of these things kind of develop this context with which movement is produced from. Now, once we take this into consideration, it's far less black and white when it comes to movement as a whole. Now, we've coupled this with the idea that movement is arbitrary and it kind of is produced just based on the goal at hand. We can really make the goal whatever it is that we want. If we take into consideration that equipment does a lot of the kind of forming of movement around the equipment, then as the equipment changes, we can see that there are changes in the way that people move. We can take the squat, for example. Now, if you have a regular straight bar, powerlifting bar, that squat is going to look a lot different than somebody who's using something like a safety squat bar that has handles that come down. Now we can also apply this to something like a transformer bar or a Mars bar, all these different types of bars that people use to squat with. And the squat itself is going to change with the change in context, including the equipment. Now we can apply this idea, this alteration in the inputs with any of the inputs that I talked about. Symptoms present, the skill level of the person, the definition of the movement of the coach. And so the movement being perfect kind of has nothing to do with the movement itself. It all has to do with the context that it exists in. As we change the context, the movement is going to change. So as we change the definition, or as we change the person giving the task to the athlete, the definition or the movement is going to change itself. If we take 10 different physical therapists and tell them to coach the squat to 10 different patients, then those patients are going to receive 10 different ways to perfectly complete the squat. The definition is kind of up here in people's brains, the way that they want to see it, the way that they want to see different criteria completed, or the way that they learned it themselves. And so this again kind of lends itself to the idea that movement isn't really perfect or can't be perfect because the definitions can be so widely different. Now we can come to a consensus on what a perfect movement is, but that still is not really going to apply to everybody because everybody moves differently. Again, that context can change, meaning that the inputs can change, which is going to change the movement itself. Now, the benefit that there is no such thing as a perfect movement is that we can give people freedom to move, which brings us to point two of why focusing on perfect movement is a bad idea. So we put people in what's called movement jail, or this box that they can't really get out of. Now, the idea with movement jail is that there's only one way to do things and that every other way is wrong. And so by definition, if they are not hitting this perfect movement, then they are doing the movement imperfectly or wrong. Now, it might not sound like a big deal, but when we start to give people the idea that they're moving incorrectly, they come up with a whole host of things that they can then attribute to that imperfect movement, like injury, like wear and tear, like symptoms. All these things can kind of generate or stem from the idea that they are moving incorrectly. I mean, you take a population of people who are self-selecting themselves to come and look for help when it comes to movement, i.e. patients, and then you give them the idea that if they don't move correctly, that their head's going to fall off or something's going to break or wear down too quickly, then you have this mix of not only are we not giving them permission to move however they need to in the context given, but we also open them up to worrying, changing their expectations, changing their beliefs of their resiliency or the robustness of themselves. And it kind of opens up this whole can of worms of we as the healthcare provider are trying to get them better, but we're also kind of making them worse at the same time. Now, point number three is that we need to keep the barrier to entry as low as possible for physical activity. And when we focus on perfect movement, all that does is that raises that barrier to entry really, really high. Now, why does the barrier to entry need to be low? Not enough people, a majority of the people in the country and in the world are not active enough for health benefit. And so if we look at something like the physical activity guidelines for Americans put out by the Department of Health, there is a minimum amount of physical activity that needs to be done to make sure that there is a decrease increase in morbidity and mortality or comorbidities and death. Now, those minimums are 2 or more days a week of compound strengthening movements across the whole body and a minimum of 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous intensity aerobic activity or steady state cardio. Now, if we are putting the barrier to entry very high for that, it's going to be unlikely that people are going to choose to be more active. Now, the bad part here is that if people are not choosing to hit those minimums because they're afraid or they're not being able to move perfectly, then they are going to increase their risk of developing comorbidities like obesity, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, all of these things that we really associate with a sedentary lifestyle, as well as increasing their risk of an early death. Now, if we hit those minimums by keeping the barrier to entry very low, then we decrease the risk of all of those and we increase things like bone density, cardiac health, like muscular health, all these things that we kind of associate with longevity with a more healthy lifestyle. Now, as physical therapists and as healthcare providers, our goal is going to be to keep people as healthy as possible. I mean, that's the whole point. They come to us looking for help. We give them tips to push them towards health. And if we're giving them ideas that they're the perfect way to move, or that if they're not doing X, Y, and Z movement, they're bending their back too much, or their knees are going over their toes, what have you, then we are actively adding to the harm that we are causing by not getting them as active enough and not pushing them as much as we can towards health. To go over those 3 points again, we have number one, there's no such thing as perfect movement. It's going to be very wide in its definition and it's going to vary depending on the context. Number two is that we're going to be putting people into movement jail or into a box that if they step out of, they're going to think that they're going to become injured. And then number three is that we are keeping the barrier to entry very high when it comes to becoming more active because we're kind of putting these arbitrary checkpoints that people can't really meet very readily in front of them. Now, if you found this video helpful, go ahead and subscribe. I'm going to be putting out a lot more content in the coming months. And if you know somebody who might benefit from watching this, go ahead and share this link with them so that they can benefit from the information.